Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
It's been a while since I've preached longer than I normally go, and so I'm pretty excited about it. And very seldom is a congregation that I preach to as excited about what I'm preaching as I am. And that's the reason why it works better for me than it does for them, because the Word of God works tremendously in my life. And I am a beneficiary of the blessings of the Lord. Every day I consider the benefits of the Lord. Every day the Lord blesses me, praise God. And since it's been a while since I've preached, I had to sort through a lot of things. I've got some people, a couple of preachers that call me almost every week. They call me regularly. Say, what do you got for me? Sunday's coming up. And when Friday comes, I know I'm going to get a phone call from them. They're starting to think about Sunday's coming up. And so they call and say, and I've got one that will say, and he has to have not just the general thought, he wants every word. And then he'll say, I'm writing as fast as I can. And then he'll say, wait just a minute, I'm going to put my wife on and let her write. And so then I dictate it to his wife, and they preach it. But I've always been a little different than some people. Some people talk to me about all the doors are closed. I've never been in a place in my life where all the doors were closed. And in fact, I'm always in a place where there's so many doors, I have to be very careful which door I go through, that I don't want to go through the wrong door. The same thing with preaching. So it's been a while since I've preached, and so I've got several sermons I want to preach. I'm going to put them all together and preach them one a day. It'll take about 3 hours. Is that all right? No, I really wanted to preach about castaways or runaways. I wanted to preach about the major theme of Jesus' ministry. I wanted to preach about the power of the gathering, all of these things that I've put in my notes in the last few days, but none of those things. And the way I decide what I'm going to preach is the one that I get the most excited about, that's the one I preach. When it excites my spirit, I know that God wants me to communicate that to somebody else. So let's pray together again today and just believe that God is going to do something in somebody's life, that God is going to answer somebody's prayer, that God is going to cause a miracle to happen in somebody's life. God is going to break somebody's bondage. God is going to save somebody in this building, somebody that is watching. The Holy Spirit is going to be preeminent and have His way today. Would you pray with me? Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray, God, that I would be able to deliver the Word of God in the power that it is intended to be delivered. It's not the enticing words of man's wisdom, but the power and demonstration of your Spirit that's brought forth by the Word of God, the creative Word of God, that it would not return void. But everybody in this building that has a need, that need would be met. They would catch the Word of God, anoint their hearing, God, that they would have an ear to hear the Word of God, and they would have the strength to act on it, that their lives might be changed forever. Let the power of the Holy Ghost demonstrate. Let it be said here today, what he spoke these words, the Holy Ghost fell. In the name of Jesus Christ, I ask it all. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you today on the progressive steps of faith, which is my favorite subject. Faith is my favorite subject of everything. My second subject, favorite subject is praise. And the reason why I like both of those is they can have such an immediate result. But when you talk about faith, if somebody catches a hold of what the Word of God is imparting to them about faith, they can have an immediate transformation, an immediate miracle, an immediate change in their life. The Bible said without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so every one of us that are God people, that love God, that seek God, would realize the imperative nature of faith, that we must acquire faith if we are going to please God. The Bible teaches us that we are to walk in the steps of our faith, according to Romans 4:12. Walk in the steps of faith. And so faith has a progression. It's supposed to get bigger and better all the time. The Bible tells us that every person is given a measure of faith. It's one of the things that God tucks into your very being before you exit the womb. You have faith that is intact in your life. Every man. I heard somebody say, no, that's only Christians. No, that's not true. That's every human being has a measure of faith. But unfortunately, that faith is assaulted almost immediately as you begin to walk through this life. It's assaulted by the enemy in many forms, by what you hear, by what you see, by people that have influence in your life. Your faith is assaulted, and it becomes a real opportunity in your life to maintain that faith. There's a reason the key instruction to young Timothy from Paul was, fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith, because the unfeigned faith that was in your mother, your grandmother Lois, and your mother Eunice, it's in you. But you have to fight to keep that faith. And when I called to remembrance that unfeigned faith, I want it to be in you. The toughest fight of your life is obtaining faith, growing faith, and maintaining the level of faith. That's the toughest battle that you will ever fight in your life. And the level of faith, your level of faith determines your quality of life. When you see people that are totally destitute, it is a barometer of their faith. When you see people that want to give up, it is a real telltale of their faith level. Every person is given a measure of faith, and so it's the number one target of the devil. The number one target of the enemy is your faith. That's the reason why Paul would say, above all, exalt above everything. Put it above everything that you take the shield of faith. Age is an enemy of faith. The older you get, this is some bad news for you young people. The older you get, the tougher it is to maintain your faith. Have you ever heard the expression, he's just a bitter old man? The reason why is your faith is under attack. And the older you get, the tougher it is to maintain your faith, let alone grow your faith. That's the reason why Christ would say, become as a little child. A child is fresh from the womb. His faith is still intact. He has not been assaulted on every side, and so his faith is still there. But it takes a real person to age, to mature, to middle life, and beyond, and still be a man of faith. That's the reason why my greatest heroes are people like Tommy Barnett, that's somewhere around 85 years of age and preaching around the world, while other men his age are just content to sit at home or worse, to be confined to a nursing home. But at 85 years of age, he's still changing the world because he has found the words of Paul to be true. We must fight the good fight of faith. It is simply the adversary's greatest target to attack your faith, to cause you to give up, to quit, to stop. And the older you become, the greater tendency there is to give up and stop. When you talk about depression, that's an attack on your faith. The reason why you're depressed is because your faith is diminished. People that are bipolar, and I no one in any way want to insult you, but people that are bipolar are under a severe faith attack. That's the reason why you have the ups and downs. Your faith is waning. And people that are suicidal or commit suicide have actually come to the greatest attack of their faith, and they simply can't handle it anymore. Jesus told Peter that his faith was in danger. Your faith will be attacked. I will pray for you that your faith will not fail, Jesus said to Peter. But unfortunately, Peter's faith did fail. He cursed the name of Christ. He denied the fact that he had ever known the Lord. His faith totally failed. Well, when Jesus met him on that fatal shore, his question was not, is your faith intact? His question was, lovest thou me? Why is that? Because the Bible declares that faith worketh by love. The very first step of faith is loving God. When you begin to love God, your faith is made intact. And the more you love God, the greater your faith grows. And you begin to trust the Lord and say, no matter what happens, I know I'll be all right. That's faith. Because my faith, my trust is in God, and I love God with all of my heart. We desire what we love. You ought to ask God every day, God, make sure that I have a desire for you and the things of the Lord. When I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train fill the temple. When I love God, I exalt him and his train, his paraphernalia, his attributes, his abilities, his blessings. All of those things fill the temple, of which now my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And so one of your main prayers is, God, give me the right desire. Let me desire a relationship with you. Let me desire to have an unequivocal love for you. Love creates relationship. Why do the rich and famous have such a high divorce rate? It's because their relationships are not based on love. They're based on lust and greed. And lust and greed do not create lasting relationships. God, give me desire. Lord, let me love you above all. He that cometh to God must love God, desire God. What is desire? It's an appetite. It's hunger. It's thirst for God. He that hungereth and thirsts for the kingdom of God. The second is, we must believe that he is. I am unquestionably persuaded that God is, that there is a God. I cannot believe for a moment as the atheist, the agnostic, that all of creation is an accident. I believe there's a divine architect, a divine designer, somebody behind it all. I can't believe in the Big Bang theory. It just happened out of nothing. No, no, no. It is belief, it is faith, it is knowing. It is the absence of doubt. I know in whom I believe. True love creates lasting relationships built on trust. Three of the greatest men in the Bible were Abraham, Job, and Paul. And every one of them had a lasting relationship with God built on trust. What was their common denominator? All three of them, trust. Abraham trusted God enough to sacrifice his son Isaac. He had waited for most of his life for that son to be born, and now that son's a teenager, and God said, I'm going to take that son. He said, it's all right. I'll go up Mount Moriah. I'll take that son. I'll lay him on the altar, and I'll sacrifice him to you because I trust you, God. I do not understand why you're asking for the gift that you've given me, but I trust you enough that I will give it to you. That's what tithing is. Tithing is about trust. Why would you surrender 10% of your increase? Because you believe that you're putting it in the hands of God and you can trust God with it, not to squander it, not to cast it away, but multiply it, fix it up, and give it back to you. That's why tithing is so important. Abraham trusted God enough to offer Isaac. It worked out all right. Suddenly there's a ram in the thicket. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I'm talking about a high level of faith. Paul said, nothing can separate me from the love of God. All of them had a love for God that caused them to trust God, that gave them a relationship with God that simply could not be broken. Before it was written, they understood the principle. All things work together for good for those that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. That's what real faith is. It's not always understanding. It's just saying, I trust God because I love God. And I understand that God loved me not because I'm perfect, but God loved me at my worst. When God decided to send his son to die for me, it was not when I was at the pinnacle of achievement. It was when I was in the dregs of society and in the failure of sin. God loved me. And if God would love you like that, you might not be perfect, but you're a heap sight better than you were. If God could love you back then, how can God love you now? And so you say the relationship cannot be broken because I am a man or woman of faith, and I am like the Apostle Paul. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is the level of faith that God wants you to operate in. That no matter what happens, you say, I'll praise God because my trust is in him. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. How could Job say that? Because he believed in the resurrection before there was a resurrection. Ladies and gentlemen, you've got to believe in God past, God present, and God future. And Job said, that's my faith. Even though he slay me, it's all right. I believe in a resurrection. Even though he takes my son, Isaac said, it's all right. I believe in a resurrection. Nothing can separate me from this kind of love. The identity of your affection. It's wonderful to know that there is a God, that there is a divine architect, there is a creator. Friend, I know lots of things about the government, but I don't know them personally. I just know they exist, but I don't know them personally. When I met with the President of the United States, my friend Brent Norton thought it was going to be a daily occurrence. He said, I guess you'll be going to the White House often. I said, never again. He said, I guess you'll be talking to the President often. I said, no, sir. He said, well, you've met him. He knows your name. I can tell you before I went out that door, he had forgotten my name because he meets thousands of people. I simply don't have that kind of a relationship with anybody in government. But praise God, I've got that kind of relationship with the Creator. Because not only do I know there is a God, I know His name. I know His manifestation. There's a reason why Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. It's not enough just to believe in a man upstairs, in a vagueness of an identity of a God that is superior. You must have a personal relationship with the God incarnate, the Emmanuel, the God with us. That's what Christmas is all about. We celebrate the fact that God became personal for the first time in the history of man's existence. And now not only do we know Him, He knows us by name. Our names are in printed on the palm of His hand. He's counted the hairs on your head. He knows every down sitting and every uprising. He knows every trial and every triumph. Praise God. The step of your faith is to become personal and intimate with the Lord. You can't do that unless you know His name. Do you still call your husband Mr. So-and-so? Do you still call your wife Mrs. So-and-so? Or do you call them by their name? Ladies and gentlemen, when I found out who God was and when He revealed His name to me, it's what Jacob wrestled all night for. Tell me your name. But praise God, when I found out the name of the whole family in heaven and on earth is named of the Lord Jesus Christ, it changed my life. I became on a first name basis with the God of the universe. My faith went to a place it had never, ever been before. Because when I realized that my faith said, Jesus, and when I did, every angel was at my command and every demon was under my foot, my faith soared off of the chart and said, whatsoever thing you ask in the name of Jesus Christ will be yours. And praise God, the first thing I recall was I asked for salvation, and then I asked for power, and then I asked for joy, and then I asked for peace, and then I asked for healing, and then I got a little more basic and I asked for a car and a house and clothes and food and just the daily benefits. It's a high level of faith that God wants and expects you to exist in. You're no longer a stranger from the commonwealth of Israel. You are a child of the living God. You are a Mephibosheth, living crippled in a cave. And God said, it cannot be anymore. Come out of the cave. Come to the table. I am getting ready to put the tablecloth of my grace on your crippledness, and it will never, ever be seen again. And now I am preparing for you a table in the presence of your enemies. That's where God wants you to be. Except you believe I am He, you shall die in your sins. The greatest revelation you'll ever have is the name of Jesus Christ and who Christ is. Jesus Christ was crucified because of mistaken identity. When He claimed to be God, they said, we'll crucify you for that statement. That's the reason why Christ was crucified, is because He claimed to be God. But praise God, when He died, all of my sins were nailed to the cross. And the revelation that I got changed my life forever. To get a high level of faith, to take that next step of faith, you must believe that He is and he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I listen to preachers consistently on television and on the radio that simply do not understand that God is a rewarder. God does reward faith, and faith requires works. Faith requires that you say something. Faith requires that you think something. Faith requires that you do something, and when you do, the great God of the universe will reward you, until David said, my cup is not half full, three quarters full, or enough. He said, my cup runneth over. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a place of faith that most people never even visit that we're supposed to live in. Faith is not a vacation spot. It's a residence. Every day of your life, get up and say, God's on my side. Something good is going to happen. All things are going to work together for my good today. It doesn't mean matter what the devil does, what he means for evil, the Lord will turn it to good. And the next step of faith is petition. Those that diligently seek him. Learn how to petition God. God does not want you to beg like an orphan child, but God wants you to claim like an heir. He calls you an heir of the Father and a joint heir with Christ. If we are a joint heir with Christ, our prayers should be answered as Christ's prayers were answered. When he needed to pay a tax bill, God sent a fish to pay it. Ladies and gentlemen, Pastor Brandon said it earlier today. He will supply all of your need according to his riches in glory. But you need to learn to petition the Lord. Don't try to do it on your own. Don't make your mother-in-law your source. Don't make your banker your God. Say, my God is going to supply all of my need according to his riches in glory. And so praise God. God basks in the petition of his children. He wants his children to come often, frequently, with big requests. God said to me in prayer several years ago, you don't ask enough. Don't think you're badgering God. Don't think you're bothering God. Don't think that somehow you're exceeding the credit card of heaven, that you've somehow reached your limit. There is a God that says, ask for more. Ask for more. I want to show my strength. His eyes are running to and fro that he might show his strength to his children. He wants the unbeliever to see how blessed you are. Why would an unbeliever want to be saved if you're not living any better than they are? God wants to make you an example. He wants to bless you coming in and going out. God wants to be able to bless you where there is no visible source, the evidence of things not seen, where your twin brother that doesn't live for God says, I don't know why it happens to you. And you can say, I can tell you in one word, J-E-S-U-S. That's the reason why it happened to me. He is the author and the finisher of my faith. He provides everything I need. He meets all of my needs and gives me the very desires of my heart because I know how to petition him. I'm not a beggar waiting for the crumbs from the table. I'm a praiser that comes bold into the throne of grace. I storm the gates of heaven every day and say, here I am, the finished work of Calvary. Look at me, clothed in the righteousness of God, born again, filled with God's Spirit. And I show up in heaven, and God said, Gabriel, stand aside. One of my redeemed is here. Gabriel's not redeemed. Michael's not redeemed. But I have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And because of that, my faith cannot reach a limit. My faith soars and says, anything is possible. Anything is possible. God can be your healer. God can be your savior. God can be your baptizer. God can be your provider. God can be your waymaker. He's in this house right now. And somebody feels in your chest a straining. You're not having a heart attack. You're having a faith attack. Let your faith go. God is here to heal you. God is here to save you. God is here to reconcile you. Lift your hands and give God some praise in this house. I believe right now God's given somebody a job. I believe it happens here. It's manifest out there, but it happens here. God's given somebody a job. Right now, God is saving somebody's daughter. It's a present faith explosion. It'll be a manifestation tomorrow, but it's happening right now in the spirit. God is saving somebody's daughter. Did I say that before? I meant to say it before. God is saving somebody's daughter. God is saving somebody's daughter. God is saving somebody's daughter. God is fixing somebody's x-ray. God is fixing somebody's doctor's report. God is working somebody's criminal case out in the courtroom right now. My faith says I know how to petition Almighty God. And finally, last but not least, hallelujah, I am pleasing God. The more faith I have in God, the more trust I have in God, the more it pleases God. You can sing your song, preach your sermon, and dance your dance, but if you don't have tremendous trust and faith in God, you can't really please Him like He wants to be. But when you can say, without any qualm at all, He fights my every battle. He provides my every day and every need. He makes a way where there is no way. He is my Savior. He is my healer. He is my manifested God, and He's in this house right now. And friend, there are miracles that are taking place in your spirit. Let them go. Let them go. Believe God. Believe God for bigness. Bigness. It has to be bigger than your ability, or it's not a faith. It has to be bigger than your ability. It has to be bigger than your resource, or it's not faith. It has to be outside of your control, or it's not faith. He will make a way where there is no way. If you're in this room right now and you've got something you need in your life, whether it's spiritual and salvation or whether it's material as money, whether it's a relationship with your family, whether it's a situation on your job, whether it's health in your body, whatever it is, I challenge you to get up out of that pew and run up here and tell God, Lord, I'm taking a final step of faith. I totally trust you. Though you slay me, yet I will trust you. I know that all things work together for my good in Jesus' name. And I'm coming for a miracle right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Some of you question whether you can trust God for your rent, which is $1,200 a month or $600 a month. Or 2,000, I don't know if I can trust God or not. This week, this very week, I'm meeting with a man. It would be a $7.5 million clear profit miracle for this church. And I'm believing God can do it. I'm believing God will do it. I'm believing that God is able. It's with a businessman that's worked for 30 years in his business, accumulating millions and millions and millions of dollars. Every day he was working, he had no idea he was working for this church. He had no idea he was working for the kingdom of God. All that money could come to us. As our faith is, so be it. As our faith is, so be it. Do you have anything big in your life? Anything you can't handle? Do you have a son that's so rebellious? You can't stay in this.